everybody. We just brought the moon over the mountain.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. It wasn't much of a fight. I stood like that, but not for long.
Quiet. This broadcast is coming to you through the courtesy of
99.1 FM, CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Are you listening? Now, don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll soon be with you. Boom!
Cuckoo!
The opinions and views in the following program are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
And here we are.
Yes, I'm Lippo. And there's
Big JD.
That's right. Bright and early on a Thursday morning, rocking and rolling and over here in the Windsor, Detroit area.
A little bit nicer Thursday morning than it has been, huh?
Oh, why do you say that?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you have breakfast in your belly?
What's that mean?
It means it's nicer for you.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Because usually you're grouchy and
I mean, it's
grumpy.
A little warmer, you know. Oh, as far as the rain, though, we could do without.
Oh, for sure. It's beautiful as far as temperatures go. It's
80-degree morning here.
Well, it's going to be 80 degrees later on today, maybe.
That's right.
That's what they're calling for. Who knows? Maybe into the 90s.
They never know anything anyways. Do they really?
They are educated guesses, for sure.
Yeah, but what good is that? They all promote that they know everything. Doppler this, Doppler that.
Doppler.
We should get the CGM Doppler rolling here and tell them how it's really going to be outside.
Do you want to maybe buy a helicopter?
Yeah.
Do the traffic too? Well, here we are above the streets, folks, and we're going to tell you about the traffic.
We need that CGM chopper, man. That'd be cool. Motorcycles, I mean. Choppers.
Ah, there you go. They'll tell you what the traffic's like.
Cruise around and promote the station on CJM choppers.
That'd be very cool.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah. Most people, though, who go to university here at the University of Windsor, where CJM is headquartered, don't even own vehicles.
Well, yeah, that's true.
A lot of them walk.
What about the professors? They must own vehicles.
The profs definitely own vehicles.
It'd be nice to live right around the school, though, if you work there.
I'm sure some
profs
do.
Or anywhere you work, for that matter.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to live close to where you work. I don't live anywhere near where I work.
There's a whole show right there, commuting.
Commuting. The commuting show.
Commuting and commuters.
You want to write that down somewhere?
We should, because we'd have a big list by now and not have to, like, scratch at straws. What is it? What's
grasp,
the saying?
Grasp.
Grasp at straws. Trying to figure out what to do.
You're grasping, not me.
I'm not grasping.
Okay, then what are you talking about grasping for?
Well, I don't know. You know what I mean, though.
Hey, you know what I mean.
We have to figure out what today's show's going to be on before the news is finished.
Yeah, it isn't that bad. I think we've thought about it a little before.
A little more work goes into it than that, folks.
That's right.
Don't let us fool you.
Because we're trying to fool you every step of the way, that's for sure.
Every Thursday morning.
We're out to fool the people to think, hey, who are these clowns?
Hey, what was it? Bush said, fool me once.
That's exactly what he said.
How stupid that was.
And then he stopped and went, I don't remember the rest of that saying.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
So one thing in the news is the drivers that are hauling dirt working on, the new whatever they're making out there on.
Come on.
Here online.
Don't say that. It's a very big thing.
Windsor Essex Parkway. They went on some kind of strike.
Yes, they did.
And now they're getting a raise.
Sure.
And do you think they plan that? Hey, let's do that at this time because they need us really bad at that time. Let's go on strike and let's ask for a raise then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, usually that's when you...
They must have had that planned, you think?
When they up the demands, it's always when you need us.
When they're in demand.
That's right.
Up the demand when you're in demand.
When you get laid off, not a good time to go on strike.
Or when you're striking.
We're going on strike. We don't want to be laid off.
We're striking, so let's go on strike.
Or something like that. It's interesting that you mentioned that story, because I also have a strike-related story myself. Oh, yeah? And it directly affects myself, because I am an employee of a Chrysler Corporation. Mm-hmm. And one of our parts suppliers, Dakota, which makes the instrument panels, or otherwise known as instrument panels, and they make them there. They assemble the actual instrument panels. And
the real Chrysler lingo is IP.
IP.
The IP line.
We did have an IP line, but that got outsourced to a company called Dakota. Mm-hmm. And these people make much less money, but that's a whole different story altogether. These people had their contract ended on Friday night or Saturday night. I think it was Friday night. And so the union said, we finally got a deal. We're going to vote on it on Sunday. And this was just passed. The Sunday just passed.
Right.
And apparently the logistics of the vote, a lot of people thought, had something to do with the way that the vote outcome came on Sunday. So a lot of people were just like worked up into saying, we're only getting $1.50 an hour more in the next 3 years. That's not enough money. And so there was a whole bunch of whatever, whatever. And usually the place where you find out about the particulars of your contract that you're going to be signing or not signing is somewhat farther away from the actual ballot boxes than what was in place here at Dakota. So it turned out that they rejected the contract, that the union said, we got a good contract. The people went in there, you know, causing a stink, saying, no, it's not good, it's not good. So 60% of the people turned down the contract. So they're on strike. Chrysler shuts down the minivan plant. Can't work, can't pump out any minivans. The union is whatever you want to call them when they bow down. They hurried up and called another meeting for all these Dakota workers saying, come on in or we're going to lose this job. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to some other supplier. It's basically take it or leave it and you're going to be left on the side of the road.
Wow.
So that was, instead of saying that on Sunday, they say it on Monday. And then, of course, I think, I forget what the numbers were. I think it was 74% of the Dakota Integrated System workers have voted in favor of the tentative agreement. They rejected the fault the day earlier.
So wow.
There's labor news on.
They get you by the nads.
Short hairs, as it were.
Today's show topic is
flight.
Flight.
The amazing miracle of flight.
Wow.
It's great. Wouldn't you say?
No, I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't say that.
I think it's a great, the miracle of flight itself is great. Yeah. Especially with animals. But the miracle that we fly. Thank you, Orville and Redenbacher, for that.
Yes.
Whatever the Wright brothers' name there was there. Orville and Wilbur.
That's what it was. Wilbur and Orville, yeah.
Okay. I went to school.
Not at school of flight, yeah, though.
No, no. I'd probably prefer that, though, if I was the one flying the plane. But no, I'm not. I'm an infrequent flyer, that's for sure.
I'm going to be the beneficiary of flight today, actually. My brother flies in from out west, so there's one big benefit. You get to see family members who are strewn thousands of miles from each other.
Sure, it's a benefit for the one that doesn't fly. No, I think flight is a great thing. And obviously there's people that love to fly, or at least, you know, they know I'm going to get wherever in an hour as opposed to 3 days of driving or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But
for sure.
Yeah. Flight is amazing, but I can't do it.
You can do it. You have done it.
I have. Yeah. But I do not like it at all.
Sam, I am.
Yeah.
I'm over with some
next week. We'll have Dr. Seuss on the show.
The children's book show, children's literature.
And now with flight, flight itself is amazing. You have any information on flight itself that you wanted to?
Well, the first form of man-made flying objects supposedly were kites. So we knew that we could put stuff up in the air and it would fly. Mm-hmm. And of course, then there was Leonardo.
Kites are cool. I love kites.
Kites are an awesome thing. Especially on a really...
See, I don't even know if I want to be up in a balloon.
You know, I can understand that feeling.
Yeah. Have you been up in a balloon ever?
I've never been up in a balloon.
Because I know places have balloon rides, like county fairs and stuff. They send you up in a balloon. Sure. You can look over the county. And
yep. And there's the balloon festival in London, which we go to. I've been to like three of them.
And you never gone on the balloon?
Never actually went in the balloon.
Oh, wow.
you got to arrange, like it's a time consuming thing because you fly somewhere out into the county.
Okay. Yeah. And it's slow.
It's not very fast. No.
Yeah.
So it's about an hour to do that. And then they have people pick you up where it lands and then they got to drive you back to your car at the,
and that's a regular balloon, like county fair style balloon with a basket on the bottom.
Yeah. Basket okay. on the bottom. Yeah.
Cause then there's those Hindenburg style things. What are those? What do you call those? Blimps?
A lot of people call them different things. There's a, I think the thing that you're thinking about
a blimp
is like a Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what a Hindenburg was though?
Was the, blimp. The Hindenburg was a blimp. What do you,
it's a funny word, man.
What is
blimp?
Oh, blimp. I was going
to
say.
It is sort of funny. How'd that, I'd like to know where that word came from. We'll have to save it for the funny words show.
The origin of the word blimp.
Write that down.
Yeah, the Hindenburg was a tragedy in terms of, you know, flight.
And, right.
But that's not why I'm afraid of balloons. Even though something like that can happen, they just basically pump hot air into an enclosed area and it's going to rise because the air around it is cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very simplistic thing. It just seems so unscientific or so...
well, it is, really. I mean, back then, I mean, it was... pretty scientific, I guess, for its day, maybe, but, you know, yeah. Hey, we could do this and we can fly.
And basically, that was one of the first manned vehicles was a balloon. That was the first thing that people got in and actually got to fly was a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And, but people like Leonardo da Vinci had a different idea that we could, if we have enough, you know, he had all the elements of what flight could be in more, I want to say simplistic, but it isn't simplistic. It was in terms that they could see themselves because they could see birds flying.
Right.
Yeah. They're not moving, mm-hmm. but they're flying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, they do have to flap their wings to get off the ground and all that stuff, but they knew that stuff could fly at a relatively still state.
Mm-hmm.
So they
glide.
It would be gliding, yes, exactly. So they had to, they figured it out over time. And of course, there's the, like you say, there's the Wright brothers who, along with other people who were working on the same kinds of concepts, in the world as well. I think there were some Germans as well that were working on the same thing. And I'm not sure if the Wright brothers get the crown of first.
I want to say they didn't, but I think something that they did was like a first thing, but I don't know if it was actual flight or not, but those were the probably pedal planes anyways or something, weren't they?
Pedal planes. Possibly, yes. Start
pedaling and then take off or something?
Yeah,
because exactly. They certainly didn't have motors. You still had to jump off a cliff or something.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Even a glider's crazy. Getting pulled up by something else and gliding around for a while.
That's pretty safe. I've been in a glider once.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust the air and turbulence and, you know, because you can't see exactly what you're flying into as far as air pockets and those kinds of things. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if I like that.
Well, yes, those kinds of things can affect you, but you don't usually glide too much above 5,000 feet. But there are still forces upon your plane, even at that low altitude. But usually they're within the realm of control, either with your rudders or your the things that make the wings go up and down.
Yeah.
Flaps.
Flaps.
Who invented that, eh? Flaps.
That's another nice word. Flaps.
Blimps and flaps.
It refers to a lot of things.
Yes.
Well, flaps and flappers.
Well, there was flapper girls.
What's that?
Roaring 20s, you know, the flapper girls.
Oh, yeah? What'd they do?
I think they had flaps in their dress and they'd lift their flaps.
Oh, really?
Hey, baby.
Okay.
You want to lift your flap for me? No. You've heard of flapper girls, though, haven't you?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
It's another show.
That's another show, yeah.
Yeah. Past old time entertainment.
Sure.
Hey, Flapper Girls and I don't know what.
I don't know what either. My dad recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nice enough, kind enough. He actually wrote a little bit of a biography on his life. And
he
mentions his mother wanting to be, and she grew up in the roaring 20s.
Not a flapper girl.
But she wanted to be a flapper girl. That's what came in my mind because we just read it and he mentions the world with the word flapper girl.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
And of course, you were just talking about your dad. All our condolences go out to the LaPlante family.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
And is Harry's podcast still available, by the way? Or... it must be actually available. Can people check that out?
Can they just go somewhere and check it out?
Yeah, like iTunes. It's still there.
I don't know if it's still there. I'm going to say it isn't there.
His dad did a podcast at one time. Harry's Philosopher's Corner, was it? Right?
It was called Philosopher's Corner, yeah. And the domain name was harrysphilosophy.com.
Is the domain still there?
I think I still own the domain, but I don't think I'm doing anything with it. You know, it costs money to keep that stuff up. And
well, yeah. He hasn't done one for a long time anyway, but
it's been a while since he did one, yeah.
But he did at least, what, half a dozen of them or something, right?
13 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Listen to you. Wow.
I thought it was less, but that's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. So if, you know, you can get a hold of us, and if you're interested at all and listen to this philosophy professor just spout about philosophical terms.
Philosophy professor, and I'm sure some of the university students would be interested maybe in checking that out. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I like listening to him.
Yeah, he's a lot of people did like listening to him. Very eccentric sort of dude, and he had his own take on life. That's for sure. But back to flight.
Back to flight. Fight or flight?
No, is it?
No, it's not. It is right now. So he's telling us about past flight so that we can get into modern day flight.
Well, there was Francis Hébert Wenham. He had he'd built a series of unsuccessful unmanned gliders. And then there was the Frenchman Jean-Marie Lebris, who he was the first person to have flight higher than his point of departure. So okay. Like you're talking about jumping off cliffs.
Yeah, he went
stuff.
Higher than... Yeah, yeah,
you were able to get higher. So he had that. And then, of course, there was the it's the Aeronautical Society of Great Britain in 1866, which decided to prove that you could actually build planes that will fly. And they actually built the first wind tunnel. So they could test their prototypes in some kind of prototypical
wind
environment.
Wind chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what they should have in Windsor? Is one of those vertical wind tunnels. So you can just get in it and start flying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They just opened up one.
Or one that they had money floating around in where you could just grab it all. Remember those?
Right. Those that didn't lift you up. It just lifted the money up and you just had to grab for the money. But I know they have one in Toronto, but they just opened one up in another Canadian city. I thought that is one thing
what does it do for you? It lifts you up by yourself?
It lifts you up, yes. Yeah, so you...
Yeah, that's weird. By yourself?
By yourself.
And you just go up.
And you go up. Yeah.
That's a gravity thing or wind?
The wind blows you up.
That's a lot of wind.
It's a lot of wind.
To bring you up.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. Yeah.
It's fun. It's and weird. It usually they're out in open spaces and they're all glass and so people can see you. And you know.
A jetpack would be cool. Flying around with a jetpack, that'd be sweet.
How come how come we don't have jetpacks?
I don't know. I know they exist.
Yes, they exist.
I think you can get them.
But
I think they're expensive.
And dangerous.
I don't know how expensive though. I want to say like a few thousand dollars only though. Something like that for a jetpack.
Yeah. It's either a Segway or a jetpack. Which one would you get?
Segway.
Into the tomorrow show, but that don't got to go, so you got to turn it up, turn on the radio.
I'd take the jetpack for three.
Oh, sorry. It's a tangent.
And now, Morning Show Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by, well... by us, Big JD and Lippo, in the morning.
And this morning on the flight show here on the morning show, it's me first in the Gimme Gimmes, leaving on a jet plane.
All my bags are packed and ready to go. I'm standing here outside the door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morning. Taxi's waiting, it's blown its horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Oh,
JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
All right, smartphone remotes.
Yeah, a lot of people have smartphones these days, don't they?
They certainly should. If you don't, is the Razr considered a smartphone anymore? Because it was the big deal at one time. I wanted a Razr phone so bad.
Well, there is the new Razr. There is a new Razr, and it looks like, you know, on a touchscreen.
Oh, yeah. Everything looks like that now, like an iPhone.
Well, from the front, for sure. Hmm. But this is small compared to every other phone that comes out now.
Well, the iPhone 5 will be a little bigger.
You think?
I've heard.
Hey.
When's it coming out? When's it coming out? You got the inside scoop.
August 27th.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just picks a date like that out of a hat.
Watch, it'll be August 27th. It'll be near the end
of August. I'm getting an iPhone 5, though.
How do you know it's even going to be called an iPhone 5?
Well, what's it going to be? The 4SS?
The SS?
I can't call it that.
Well, no, then the Germans would get all bummed out.
Well, that's the German model.
Oh, the German model is called the SS. Look, they're coming to get you. No, but actually we're talking about is using your smartphone as a remote. There's a lot of different ways that you can use your phone as a remote control.
Well, for starters, you can use the phone itself as a remote. There's remote apps where you can use it for your Apple TV, or you can use it for your computer, use it as a mouse. You can, what I mean? Just using it itself. In fact, you have a Bluetooth device that allows you to use your iPhone for your television, DVD player, and everything, right?
Yep. It's called the Beacon from Griffin. I think we may have or may not have talked about it on the show. And you use your phone as a change a channel, turn up the volume, change the device you're actually working on. So that's one really good use for your remote. But also now, and then there's the iGrill.
Oh, the iGrill, right. Did you ever get
what
an iGrill?
I got an iGrill.
Did you buy one, or did you get one sent to you to check out, or how'd that work?
I want to say that it got sent to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have to send it back?
No, I have it still.
Okay.
Yep.
And have you used it?
I used it, yeah.
And I think we talked about the distance for that thing or something. Like you had to be near something.
Well, somewhere, it's Bluetooth distance, whatever Bluetooth distance is.
Yeah, okay. Which is not that far.
30 really, meters? Is it?
Well, 30 meters? What's that equal in my language?
100 feet.
Is that really that far?
I guess it's far enough.
So inside the house, though, to like outside is cool too and everything?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Most people's property isn't 100 feet wide, is it?
Well, I guess not.
No.
Well, maybe a little.
Well, the distance from your TV to your grill. You know, you're watching a game and you got your thing in your grill. So that's one thing. The iGrill is a thing that is a meat thermometer that allows you to control, or actually just to set an alarm or let you know when your meat is ready or at a specific temperature.
You couldn't control it in any way though, right?
Turn up the heat? Yeah. No, you can't turn up the heat.
You can do that in your house probably with those. I think you can, I've seen things where you can use that now as, we saw cameras. Remember? You could keep track of, I think we talked about that on a past, maybe a Jabbercast show, thejabbercast.com.
Sure.
Where you could monitor your home, I think, and turn your remote, your alarm system and stuff on and off, and webcams and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool too.
And as far as cameras go, that's kind of what gave us the idea. Is there the Canon or was it an Nikon app that allows you to use your phone as a remote for firing your camera or using it even as your viewfinder for your camera? So you can set up your camera in a specific location if you're on a shoot or whatever. And
they're generally wired, right? I think.
Triggers are generally wired.
The remotes, though, I mean, you have to wire your phone to the device.
I think the thing that we were looking at was not
that one had a wire. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I thought it was Bluetooth.
I want to say that. See, there's a cable here.
But there's no cable onto the phone. Oh, yeah, there is on the
there
phone.
There is.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was what is it? A trigger trap.
Trigger trap.
9 ways to activate your DSLR with an iOS device.
Right. But there's a lot of Android devices out there as well that do the exact same type of thing as far as using your phone for a viewfinder and for a trigger for firing your lens. But a lot of people are using DSLR cameras now for shooting film.
Oh, yeah.
Because the lenses that you can put on those things, it's amazing and how good the depth of field and the different effects you can use just by putting different glass on your DSLR.
It's pretty amazing. I think there's still some trade-off, and one of the big trade-offs is audio, but yeah.
Why is it a trade-off? What if you just record separate audio?
I don't know. I think there's still some differences with the cameras, but you know what I mean? There's still a difference with using a, you know, camera that's to shoot a movie as opposed to, but that's the way these are kind of going now, you know, honestly.
The DSLRs, they're
because of the quality now that, you know, they're getting out of them and being able to shoot full HD with them. Yeah. They're kind of gearing them towards making them
prosumer, you know, video cameras.
People are buying these to shoot video,
exactly,
and not for the still picture aspect anymore.
No, not at all. Exactly. I know our buddy Glenn Fricker. He shoots video for bands and the stuff that he's getting using, and he's buying all different kinds of old lenses.
Kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, we interviewed him for the film, and him and Lauren went off on another language about, you know what I mean? I know stuff to a certain degree, but not so much with the still. You know, the still is, you get a lot more into the lenses and switching, you know, doing a lot of stuff that, you know what I mean? And I'm not as much of a still guy, and Lauren
still,
is.
Would you?
And he's learned a lot in a short period of time and doing some really cool videos with those DSLR cameras.
That's for sure.
Yeah, cool.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
This week's quote or quip comes from a pilot.
Very famous pilot.
Amelia Earhart.
Yes.
Who they believe, remember at one time that they found, we were talking about that on a past show at some point in time, that they found, thought they found her remains on an island somewhere.
They thought they may have found the tailpiece of a plane where she may have landed.
But there was people bones too.
People bones.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good name for some kind of band, isn't it?
People bones. Yep.
That's cool. I like that. Somebody's going to steal that from me, like everything else. You haven't seen a tree until you've seen its shadow from the sky.
That's absolutely correct. I agree with that 100%. And I think that some people are just learning that reality now. When you look at a satellite view on like Google or something, and myself, what I do when I'm going to golf at a new golf course, I go get on Google Earth or go on Google Maps or whatever, and I do a little satellite surveillance of the golf course before I get there. It's like cheating. But when you look at trees from a certain distance, the shadows really don't make it, the area that's covered with trees actually look like trees at all. It kind of gives it sort of a, it's like stuff is dug into the ground. Like, you know, gives it like an embossed look. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what I bet you that was the impression or the feeling that she was getting, when like, look at that. That's amazing when you see trees from this high up. But she was like from the 20s, I think.
But that's something you don't see anyway all the time. I mean, if you fly or, you know, that type of thing, but that's not something normally that people see, is being above the trees and seeing the shadows.
That's right.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a cool sensation.
So anyway, I think that's this week's show.
Yeah. Thanks for flying along with us, folks.
By the seat of our pants.
We'll see you next week on the boat show.
The boat show, yeah. Cruises and canoes.
See you then.
Bye.
We hope you have a great day, and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
The opinions and views in the preceding program were those of the hosts and their guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJM FM.